Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You're listening to your weekly wellness radio. Let's Talk About It with hosts Scott and Maria. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874, and we are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO88.7 Project Family.
Welcome. Good morning. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Another great show for you. Our guest today is Diane Titus. Titus. Yes, Sunday. Good. There you go. He works for the Imperial Valley Regional Occupation Program, or as we say, IBROP.
Yes.
And he is a youth development specialist, and he's going to come on today and tell us all about what he does at Exposed and which project you're doing under. So give us a quick overview. Where are you under a specific project thing?
I'm under Project Sobia. This is a project that is the main focus is to reduce the underage drinking, or binge drinking with our youth here in the Pearl Valley. So that's basically
Sobia stands for sober.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's abbreviation for sobriety results in opportunity. So when we put all those words together, we kind of
came out to Sobia.
So sobriety results in opportunity.
Right. And this is just for youth or also for adults?
And this is just for youth, and it's for alternative schools, or education schools.
So it's sort of targeting in that part on it, it's been cool.
Yeah, there you go. And the reason why we're targeting those high schools is because it seems like they are more high risk of alcohol abuse and falling into drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those people are already not doing as well as maybe some other people aren't probably end up in alternatives to begin with. So they're already high risk, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of programs and a lot of projects that IBROP has done. Why is this, just like really quick, why is this important? Why does this stand out?
Mainly because, again, it's really focused to students that we already know that have problems before. And there's not a lot of information given to them. When we talk to these students, we found out that ever since they were like in third grade, fourth grade, they've always been told, take your drugs, drugs are bad for you, this is bad for you. But they haven't really gotten that whole information about why is this important for them, how this affects their bodies when they're, abusing drugs or alcohol. And this particular program targets that. And this particular program also informs the students how you give them all types of visual aids, you give them all types of examples and those things that they can do and perform and showing them in that certain way, students also kind of learn in a fun way and also learn more than, your regular programs you've got.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your best case scenario with going to these alternative schools and working in those ways with these youth? What do you expect to happen in the best outcome?
This past year we had a good outcome. We started out with a group of students, and they have increased 20% more on their
more on their alcohol use?
More on their information.
Okay.
And awareness of alcohol use. Most of these students, we also had a 21% of students actually staying themselves away from alcohol, staying away from anything drug related, and so that to us is really encouraging because that shows how how we've been improving with this program. We still haven't seen results of this year, but we still have those students there, so it would be even greater the percentage for this coming year.
Great. If you're somebody out in the audience who's interested in getting in touch and learning more about this program, which kind of
they can always come down to IBROP. We're located on 6th and 6th Street. They can also give us a call at our main line. It's 720-482-2600, or they can call us directly to our project school office. It's 760-482-2619. And we also have a website. They can also check us out there. It's www.projectschoolreal.org.
And it's Daniel Chavez. He's a youth development specialist for Imperial Valley Regional Education Program. And I ended up 5 minutes of going through the mill. How are you?
Welcome, everyone, who have joined us into a full-length show.
For those of you who don't realize this, we were putting a podcast on KSL, and And so what we're trying to do is give you like a little 5-minute thing.
We're trying to be professional radio.
And as we come back here, now we're going to kind of take our time and color in the story and get to know Danny a little bit better and have a real informational show for the rest of the show. And this is available also on podcast from KXO. So thank you for joining us today. It's 337-874 is the phone number. If you add to this conversation, that makes it more interesting for us and for Danny. And we're glad you're here.
And if they, you guys didn't get the phone number again, because Scott says it sometimes too fast.
In my AM voice.
337-8874.
Yeah,
on 88.7.
Danny Guy is a youth development specialist for IVROP. So, Danny, well, how did you ever get started developing youth?
How did IVROP come up with Project Soldier? Why is there, was there, did they notice that, you know what, there's a lot of kids walking around and there's drinking beer or there's a lot of underage drinking?
There was this all information was covered by our project coordinator, Gero Hevig. Based on research, he's real involved in youth, and he had other projects and programs with regards to youth, and he came out with, you know, some research with the thing projects that he had, and kind of wondering a little bit on how was the use of drugs or alcohol here in the Imperial Valley, and he made the research. I'm assuming he's a person that might have more further or deeper information on how he got into that.
So it sounds like there's a response to it. You need to be attractive. And locally, you know, I mean, is are any of us who have ever worked with youth in this community surprised by maybe alcohol abuse being one of the things that may slow people down as they're
going? I don't think they were surprised. They were actually aware of it, too, and they were also expecting a program like this to come out. So when they heard of Soulville, or the parents heard of Soulville, they were all, you know, don't give a good positive feedback to the point, which kept us going more and more. And going back to the first question, youth development, I had some experience with youth before. I had 4 years already with youth. I've been working in, I've been involved with churches, with youth churches. I was also directing 95.3 FM, a youth radio station. So we're as from Mark and Kenny and
the coolness meters just went up like 5 points. That was amazing.
And so I had experience working with youth, doing activities, doing games, talking to youth, and helping them or guiding them to sort of problems that they may have at home.
Interesting. Were you just kind of drawn to it, or was it?
Well, pretty much in a nutshell, I wish I had someone that could tell me what came when I was a young person. I still consider myself a young person. Not a teenager, right? But, you know. But I really wish I had someone like that. So to me, helping out the youth is just an opportunity to be there and guide these people. I really think that the youth today needs guidance. They have it, but they don't have it, as pastors.
Why don't they have the guidance?
I think kids today have the guidance. They just don't have the correct and positive guidance that they should have. They may have an older brother or older sister. But, for example, with this project, I see a lot of parties where the older brother brings in the younger brother and to drink. Okay, I don't see that as a positive, role. I don't see that as a positive good thing.
But you know what? And I'll be the double standard. But you know what? We all go through that. You know, we all go through life like that. And I was young once, and I was out there partying at 15 in Mexicali at the clubs and having with a fake ID. Fake ID. I mean, it was so fake. But hey, you know, and they got me in, and I was like 15 years old, running over there.
I really think that we all kind of done that. I've done that sort of myself. I mean, I was actually doing that thing for people.
I know. I remember I was doing that laminating before computers, for example, I knew, and I did get in trouble, and I did, did really not very big decisions, and But, you know, I learned from that. I said, you know what, now I'm not going to do that again because that got me into bad results. So then, you know, just decided to go to college and, you know, continue, and here I am.
Well, unfortunately, there's young people out there that don't think like that. There's people that drinking is the way to go, and they keep, you know, doing it.
I did that for a long time.
Let's back this up. Some people, so the whole mystique about drinking as your kid, is there? I mean, there's always going to be adults who actually don't do it.
You know, and if there's
a
thing, if it wasn't there, or if it's there during the high school years, especially in the border town, wait until they go into college, away to college, which I did, and hello there, you know. There's a frat party, there's parties every weekend, starting, you know, if you didn't have class on Friday, they started on Wednesday, could be on Thursday, and
continue. I thought I'd eaten before. And some people get, some people get out of this system, this process, grossly unscathed.
So what I'm trying to say, isn't this like a part of a stage in life? Does everybody go through that, is it something that people need to go through that, or not?
I think there's better to stay to life than many of these kids.
I'm not trying to say it is bad. I mean, I don't want. Now I have a daughter. I don't want her to.
I would argue, I'm going to be devil's advocate now and say that anything, I don't think it necessarily tied substance use of any sort, including alcohol, to rite of passage.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there's millions of cultures everywhere where that's not what kids do anymore.
Right.
That's not what they do. There's other ways of capturing, you know, you're moving into the beginning of being an adult. And so, you know, I don't want to make that an automatic assumption because I get a daughter too.
But, you know, I mean, I know the consequences. I mean, I'm not that story that it's just, you know, every kid should go through that, not at all. But, you know, because I see you read a newspaper, and then my husband's in the business of the towing, so he sees these horrible accidents, you know, because they're all alcohol-related or substance use-related. And, you know, that's not a good thing, you know. You tell if he comes back home, it's a death related, you know. I had to pick up a car where somebody died because, you know, just
not good. Over in
Yeah.
There's also other issues in regards to why kids should be treated. They haven't fully developed their bodies yet. They haven't fully developed their, you know, their brain yet. Until the age of 24.
And I'm just a 24-year-old, so I have serious doubts about it.
You know what?
Fully
probably that's why I'm so short.
and there's, I mean, those are all the issues that, you know, kids at that age don't think about. And that's other information that also party social officers and give them to. Many kids think that they age 18, that's when their bodies stop fully developed, or they age 21, that's when they start. Yeah, and alcohol is a real
bad.
I mean, you know, we're starting adding that type of
also solvent.
You drive pee off the walls.
Look how much damage it does to, you know, women who are pregnant and then to the fetus, to the baby. I mean, it does so much damage to the baby.
Yeah, and I just on that. I mean, there's other issues that goes with along.
Already, a 16, 17-year-old, 18-year-old person, I wouldn't, you know, say that they have the most best of judgments yet, because there's a developmental process. You kind of learn how to do that over time. Now you're putting something in your body that impairs your judgment,
right?
You know, it wasn't that good to start with.
Then that leads to, you know, teen pregnancy, sexually transmitted diseases,
you know, drinking more than you should, and then whatever
alcohol poisoning,
secondary causes, back causes. The other issues that we bring up with these students is that the difference of how alcohol consumption is being handled with a teenager. Adults seem to use alcohol and drink less of it and with more time, whereas students drink, you know, more.
Yeah. Because you don't know when you're going to get next time. You know, it's the same. So I might as well take the opportunity now, take advantage of it right now, because I won't be able to get it.
Daniel Chavez, and he's with the developmental specialist for the Imperial Valley Regional Occupation Program. Well, shouldn't we be teaching devil's advocate moment? Shouldn't we then be teaching young people how adults who drink with minimal side effects and consequences drink, which, as you suggested, is slow intake of alcohol spread out over time?
Yes, we actually do teach them that. That's also information that we share with these kids. But our main focus of this project is
your body and brain have to develop it.
Yeah, exactly. And we do comparisons with them, like how adults think differently than you now. And it's interesting how they see that, and they're like, well,
But the thing is, at home, it could be easy to parents. The parents could be like, they drink every night after work, to the point that they're
drunk. Not going as weekend.
Yeah, to the point that they're drunk and they fall asleep.
And then there's also been, proof how parents that also drink at the homes are more, children are more likely to also drink and drink heavier than their actual parents.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all the information that also,
There's kind of a permission thing there.
The hardest part, how do you get these kids? I mean, his kids, how can you make this program, for how do you make this program project global, be cool, be place where, they want to be there, the kids. Usually kids, they think that when there was a sale program or just say no or...
It's there, isn't it,
Danny? I think it is, man. It's hiring cool people, Everything else is just, comes in smoothly. It's just a way of how you talk to these kids. I talk a lot of, straight talk to these kids. I go in there and talk to them. So that makes them a little more comfortable. Also sharing, life experiences also makes them a little more comfortable and saying, hey, this is a guy that just not went to school or read this, but he actually, went through some of these stuff. And that's real, to me, the way you impact kids like this, just showing them who you are and what kind of stuff you went through. That totally just, blows my mind.
Your credibility is just part of your selling point in the beginning. You've got to kind of get over that. Oh, here comes another adult. Telling us,
yes. They
meant
to
do this.
Yeah, I know that. And when you're out actually telling me, look, like, I went through this, and this is how I felt, and it's not cool how this feels.
Mm-hmm.
Then kids all, start getting more into it. And, it's also not just talking about yourself or talking about themselves, but also making the whole learning process a little more youth-oriented, and also making it more, fun.
Is that like the new hip-hop Republicans or something?
What do you throw into me, I guess, that's, Well, interesting for them. More, where things
are marketing to
them. Exactly, marketing to them. You're not going to go out there and tell a kid, hey, this brand of alcohol, right?
Instead of doing the PowerPoint, you show up with this touchscreen iPhone thing and you slide it around.
I go in there and I bring this big giant bottle up there sometimes and then turn the bottle around and give all the information why you should be drinking that bottle.
So you make it interesting.
And kids are into that. They kind of like that. They see stuff and they get back into it real easily too. So.
Especially with the population that you're working on, it's just not the right, just the kids at you're going to the alternative path.
Yes.
And in continuation class.
Which is a whole different.
Yeah, these kids have been, probably have been using alcohol and drugs for a couple of years. They've been expelled from their school district.
Yes.
They've been starved. They're on probation.
Some have been kicked out from home too.
Mm-hmm.
Some have spent the weekend in
jail. And
they come back to school. This is a rough life for these students.
So the last thing we need is substance abuse problem.
Exactly. And you know what? It's a good thing that you came out with that with drugs and alcohol. There has been on our notes and our research that we made the mix of alcohol and drugs, and that's another thing that also quite sort of talks about. We talk about how it's harmful to mix alcohol and marijuana, alcohol and cocaine, alcohol and methamphetamine. We talk about all these things that are out there. And it's shocking and surprising for me at first when I was starting talking to these kids, because you see these kids and then they're young. You see their faces and they're like young, and then you're talking about these things, and then you see all these kids just kind of like getting surprised, getting a little nervous, mm-hmm. and I'm like, okay, then you start.
I'm looking at treatment, and a lot of these kids that we assess, you know, the when you assess them, you ask them the questions. You know, the primary drug, or the first time they try the substance, you know, alcohol or marijuana, always say it's alcohol. They always started with that at age 11, 12,
yeah.
13. And unfortunately, a lot of these kids that were assessing are already 16 or 17 years old. So they have on them, you know, 25 years of drinking already. And then they start telling you that they started using marijuana. And then some of them have tried. Well, what other things have you tried? Just never have known. Well, I've tried the R2s, methamphetamine, ecstasy, you know, all these other drugs and the mixture of it. You know, they mix it up and, okay. And then when you get their trust, gain their trust, and they say, well, okay, well, my repertoire isn't really not marijuana. It's methamphetamine. So they just, you know,
but
a lot of them use alcohol,
and
they start with alcohol.
Yes. And you will also need to understand alcohol is a lot of other drugs. Yeah. It's good that you're mentioning this because I talk to
parents,
and some parents are always like, well, I don't know, it can't be. Yeah, and it is. Sometimes it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I really think it depends on the person's life. It depends on whether that person is. I mean, if you're just drinking, have fun with your friends and stuff like that. You have friends that are not into drugs. You're mm-hmm. more like that. You're not.
And that's 28. 367-874 is the phone number. And you're 28, and your brain and your body are developed, and you have a job, and you move away from home, you 28-year-old slacker. and you're pulling around some money, and you got your own place, and you're contributing to California's well-being financially. Then, yeah, go out and have like a drink, and make it last an hour.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. It's 101%. You know, so, but what I'm saying is there's still, you're in a minefield, basically, because these are kids in the continuation schools and alternative schools that already have significant, I mean, they're already, you know, somebody kind of stacked against them.
Yes.
I mean, you know, from alternative school to UC to great income, that's a very rare story. I mean, I've heard that story out of this community. You're the phone number working for us. So you've got this setup here where you know, these kids already need to dial in and start really focusing and getting through this individual level, because otherwise you're going to be hanging out in that
car. I mean, basically you have a hard job because it's just, you know, you're trying to, you know, trying for these kids to be sober, you know, and not drink alcohol, and you're already in a population that's very high risk, that's already has a lot of stuff against them, and, you know, a lot of them are very tired of using alcohol.
I don't know that it's going to be over. I really think there's going to be all these kids that are drinking. I mean, alcohol is going to be there. And drinking is always going to be there. I'm not saying that, you know, we're going to stop completely. I just feel like, you know, we just got the information given to mm-hmm. the people.
So they make their
information is good. Information is power.
Then it's got us. It's the IVROP, which is Improved Regional Occupation Program. Yeah, you know, it is about the top hour almost. I talk really slowly. And let's take a short break, and we'll be right back. This is Let's Talk About It, Your Voice for Wellness and Imperial County.
You're listening to the complete podcast version of Imperial County Behavioral Health Service Let's Talk About It, brought to you by KXOradio.com.
And welcome back. You're still listening to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health at KUBO88.7. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874.
Did we get listener feedback or something that I was like too quick on the phone number thing?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
What did we can't get?
237-8874.
On 88.7.
Right, that's why you can remember. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, guys, this is Let's Talk About It. We have an additional guest today. A spontaneous guest moment, which is always cool. Gabriel Aguirre,
mm-hmm.
And you work with ROP, you're working with Danny. What's your role over there, other than lead researcher?
Besides lead researcher, I'm also a coordinator for a couple of youth projects, one being my future master's project was an abstinence-based education program, and then also was Project Solio, doing education for alcohol abuse prevention.
Now, were you drawn to kind of abstinence issues because both of those programs kind of work in that direction, or...?
Definitely drawn to prevention. I've been working in prevention for about 12 years. I started at the County Office of Education here in student well-being and family resources. And so...
Sky Office of Education.
I need my time.
But definitely that that really was something I kind of backed into that situation, and it just kind of struck a chord. I saw that there was a significant need, and not only in our county, but especially in our county, for somebody to come in and to educate students, as Dan was talking about earlier, you know, talking about the practical application of what we teach, not just say no, but why do you say no and why that's the best choice for you.
How do you say no?
And how do you say no?
You say maybe. How do you do that?
And what situations do you have to say no in, and how do you get out of that? So all kinds of different tools that we can give them in order to prepare them better.
Now, you kind of heard our whole philosophical thing as we charged into this, didn't you? It's really a complex situation, isn't it?
It is. There's so many things in the community, in our environment, that are pervasive, media, the local attitudes about alcohol and drug use, the attitudes across the border about alcohol and drug use, the fact that the Super Bowl is an additional holiday in our country, and that's really highly promoted by alcohol companies. So,
there's not a lot of cultural opportunity in the valley. I mean, we live in Imperial Valley, it's 112 degrees up there.
I see your billboards, you know, Project Solio frequent, but then again, you know, I also see all these alcohol made, you know, big, huge billboards.
Where do you guys just see girls? Come on.
Yeah, especially, you know, if you like a certain sport, they put the billboards with the sport and the alcohol, the brand of the beer.
Yeah, they definitely have tons more money than we do, so that definitely helps them. But yeah, again, what they're doing is the same thing we're trying to do with our program, is trying to grab the attention.
Cross-marketing, you're competing with that marketing image.
Literally, we are competing with them. And we're trying to get the students' attention and find out, you know, where they live, what are their hobbies, what are their interests, you know, what do they listen to, what do they watch, and then go from there and kind of not only in our terms educate them, but also break down what is it, you know, what is being sold to you by the advertising companies, what's being sold to you in the media, and is that the reality of what you see on a day-to-day basis? Is that the reality?
Aren't you guys getting in trouble? We're supposed to be consumers, we're supposed to be spending money, we're supposed to be doing that, lots of credit cards, all maxed out. Are you guys going great against that, right?
Actually, I think I'm really doing a lot to support the economy because we're trying to put some money in other areas besides alcohol.
Exactly. Get it out.
But it really is, it's the heart of this is almost the consumer heart of it as much as anything, because even with substance abuse, even with alcohol abuse, you've got this whole consumer element where more is better and faster is cooler and, you know, et cetera.
Well, isn't that the nature of our country? You know, everything bigger, better, faster, sooner. And so I think that's really what we're trying to show students, is that they have the opportunity to do so much more, and have so many much more opportunities that they don't ruin it by rushing into binge drinking, which leads to alcohol abuse. And we're finding now that, you know, students are, we don't, a lot of people typically have the idea that somebody who's an alcoholic is 40, 50, 60, that they live on the streets, you know, you see them panhandling at Walmart, but that's not the reality anymore. The reality is that very young people in their mid-20s are full-blown alcoholics.
Because that brain is involved.
Exactly.
When I was away in college, you know, my boyfriend's roommate was drinking constantly, and he failed a couple of classes, and I don't know, we graduated, he didn't, I don't know what happened, you know, but he was drinking every single night, every single day.
And there's, you know, so much exposure at such a young age, Dan just whispered in my ear, Mexicali is right there, and it's such easy access for our young people. You know, they can just go across the border.
Alcohol and
other stuff. Yeah, plenty of other things that they have access to. I know a lot of people through the reality show, but this weekend I was watching something on, like, Havasu and the things, the partying that goes on out there.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think, well, you know, that kind of stuff happens for us right across the border. And so for our students,
And yeah, but it also happens to make you
so
public
So, we've got this spring break thing right across the border always, 24-hour, 365, spring break. And, but B, we've also got, you know, your parents' covers. So you've got this pervasiveness.
Right.
And again, we talked a little bit about, you know, this, somehow alcohol got associated with coming of age in our culture, maybe because of the advertising stuff. That was a really good way to get people started early.
But it's been that issue, because my parents, you know, gave me, you know, just like back then it was cute to give, open up a can of beer for my dad. I would take a sip, and he would take the rest. And this was, I was like maybe 8, 9 years old, and it was, oh, you know, look at this baby, oh, look at the kid, you know, how they're drinking, how cute. Somehow or another, it came across to me, you know, not working in the alcohol and drug field. I would never do that to my daughter.
And that cost me 17 grand.
So really, it's the educational factor. You know,
it's education.
When I was little, there's a picture of me 6 months old in a little overall outfit that's Budweiser holding a Budweiser can and it's accusing me of all, right? But my parents weren't educated enough to know.
Did you put that up in my face here?
I didn't, but that's my profile for my face. People weren't educated enough on the effects of alcohol and what it did to us at a young age. And the drinking age, you know, when I was born, we were 18, and so when you became a teen, you could join the military, you could vote, you could drink. And so that kind of changed when there is the drinking age of 21, and there is this subculture movement to change the age back to
18.
And a lot of people think that that's going to promote more responsible drinking. Of course, we know from research that the brain doesn't completely develop until you're almost 21, and so because of that, you know, there's more.
And look at Danny. I mean, we're going to be sure at that point. It's fun.
He's a prime example of why not to drink a bit.
No, he's the problem.
But actually, he did really well yesterday on the Spanish show. So that's why I wanted to come here and give him props for that. But I just think it's just about education. It's about what we know today versus what we knew 15 years ago, even 5 years ago.
So you guys give me the science. Which is science about alcohol and what it does to brains and what it does to people and what it does to people in community school.
And we try to make that science real life. So not just the stats, not just, you know, this is what it does to you on the data or on yourself, but try to actually show them the progression, how things that might already be taking place with them are associated with alcohol, memory losses, and ability to do certain tasks. Things like that, you know, just the whole nature of the beast and what little signs could be showing them already that they think are just normal.
Shouldn't we also have a project or something just concentrate on educating parents? You know, those, you know, if you have a toddler, you know, like they need to go to this parenting class just for, you know, the effects, you know, give them education on alcohol and drugs, you know. So they're not going to make the mistakes that, you know, that my parents did because they didn't have the information and knowledge. I mean, we need to stop the cycle.
Well, yeah, as a parent, there's a whole range of selections that you can pick, and if you pick a really hard one, you risk losing them completely.
Right.
No, never, not in my life, whatever, and the kid's been drinking for like 2 years already. Well,
yeah.
On the other hand, if you're hosting parties because you want to be safer, you know, that's, you know, probably the opposite side of weird.
Yeah.
And you hear that a lot. You hear that.
And actually, yeah. I addressed that yesterday a little bit. And he talked about how a lot of parents, and we hear this, but that the general
as long as they drink in my house.
They're pushing themselves at home.
That's
what we're doing. They're not from the toddlers. Come on.
That's exactly what they say. You know, we have our, you know, they have our kids' best interests at heart, but I'd rather have them drink here where I can supervise them, I can see what's going on because I know they're not drinking.
So what if you say, come across the parents and say, you know what, I have educated my child on alcohol. I told them, you know what, based on your weight, if you drink this much alcohol for this long, you're not going to be drunk. You're going to be, you're going to be still so, I'm not so sure, but, you know, be able to control.
And this will be affecting your undeveloped brain.
Just like that. Oh, okay.
Well, we're definitely trying to give them whatever education we can on, you know, whatever science we have, but also to remind them that, you know, any amount of alcohol for somebody under 21 is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Parents are able to buy
additional risk,
you know, if they mm-hmm. so choose to, but you're opening yourself up to so many situations that are possible.
Do you talk to parents too?
Yes, we do. We do parent education, in fact. It was about 2 weeks ago on the 10th. We had an event right next door to ROP at the Eagles, and we had, it was kind of like a family fiesta. We invited the parents, it was a parent appreciation. We had mariachi.
We had a great turnout.
We had about 200 parents.
Oh, wow.
The thing that was really interesting about the situation was that we had a band, we had mariachi, we had dinner for them, and next door, so literally next door, there was a wall separating us, there's a bar. And so we had to ask the parents to, you know, be responsible, and we were there, you know, trying to set an example for our school.
Look, we had more fun than they had.
That's what turned out being the king. A lot of the parents, they laughed, you know, when we said, you know, we're asking them to go next door and get drinks and just kind of trying to enjoy the night. And by the end of the night, when we reminded everybody that they had a great time, and they really did have a great time, we had to, you know, turn the lights on and kick everybody out without alcohol. So I think for some parents, it's eye-opening that they can have a really good time without drinking, because it is so associated with everything. You know, you have a birthday party for a 3-year-old.
I moved here from a different culture.
Baptism.
Birthday party for kids, and I was like, wow, this is a different way of doing it.
So it was really an eye-opening experience, and it was educational for the parents, and that's what we try to do. It's the same idea. We try to find out, you know, what are the interests, what are the hobbies, what are the things that parents go for, and then go there with them and teach them in their own setting, because it makes them more applicable.
So is part of this education, let me do this. 337-337-8874 is the phone number. Give us a call, and we're here with the IBROP guys. We're here with Diane
and Cyrus
and
Gabriel.
No, it's better in some seconds. It's got to be beautiful. I mean, my kids in the air and their boys are in the air. And we're talking about this whole, and especially with alternative and community kids, the whole struggle with how to manage alcohol. Do you work by just putting the information out there and letting people kind of choose their own way of managing that? I mean, is that, because I know one of the things we can do is say, you know, this is the way you're supposed to do it. And sometimes it doesn't fit everyone, or sometimes they've got other vices or other ways to manage it. How do you handle that?
Well, especially with the community school kids, you know, in alternative education settings, a lot of times these students are really
taught
and
all something that they work on.
Exactly, an authority figure, we're preaching to them, all these different things that come across when we first walk in the door. But what we really found is that a lot of those students are not tapped for their leadership skills, for their responsibility factors. They have a lot of responsibility at home sometimes. Mm-hmm. So what we're trying to do is
survivors in many
aspects, exactly. They often have a lot of the tools that you would look for an adult, because they've lived situations that have been more adult-like than child-like. So we try to engage
them. It's a different level of respect and perception. Walking right in the door.
We try to engage them in a sense where we create leadership groups, and we have them participate in activities in the community, to do things like community service, so that way the community can see them as resources as opposed to a burden.
And
graffiti paint out during the summer. I know when the students talked about, you know, making sure that I'm just friends tag that fancy video.
Yeah,
paint. Kind of drives it home. We also try to get them to do peer educators. So we give them information, and we want to get them ready to go into the elementary schools and do presentations for elementary, because they feel that that's where the information needs to be given. By the time that they're in high school, they feel it's too late. I think it's always too late, but for some students...
Yeah, they always start having those things. That when we do our assessments, a lot of these kids start using alcohol at age 11 and 12.
Well, and the kids who are going to be these survivor kids, the kids who are going to be these kids that are put in these situations where they end up having to do a lot of adult stuff, are probably already doing it in third grade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If not doing it explosively, definitely.
Right.
So that's what we try to do. And so... In that, we're giving them the education piece, we're allowing them to make it real and whatever aspect that means for them, but we're also providing an opportunity for them to apply it and demonstrate it, role model it. And so what we think that does is not only helps the community by doing that, but also helps them by driving it home and saying, if I'm going to put this out there, then people are going to see me and they're going to know that this is stating, and I need to follow that.
Do you end up having to do a little cultural negotiation? I mean, you've got school systems that have their own ideas about what falls within the standard deviation of proper. And you've got these kids who may have this different thing about keeping it real. Mm-hmm. You have to do a little bit of going back and forth sometimes?
Yeah, there's always a little bit of a negotiation. Each school thinks a little bit different on what they need and what they want for the student. But for the most part, the schools have been very accepting, very
certification with Director Maya right there. She wants the services.
Right.
And she knows that there's needs. And
the schools usually see their potential in the students before anybody else does. And so I think they support the fact that we try to follow that and try to access that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, I'm imagining, you know, Danny raising the next generation of neuroscientists, but doing more brain stuff on, you know, with kids. And it's funny to see, hey, this is pretty interesting, the way that this stuff works. And, you know, that's how learning, you know, can sometimes really wake up.
We actually have the seniors from our high school. I had them recruiting other students for us for this coming year. And it was a little tricky because they actually went out there. They talked to them what I talked to them about.
So once you get that leadership going, then it's able to kind of keep itself going over time, right? I mean, that's one of the goals of the program. With every great project, and even not so great projects, we have sunsets and pauses and times. What are you guys looking at in terms of your project? How long is it funded for? And
how long will it be here forever?
We hope so, but I definitely hope so. This is the second year of funding and a 3-year funding cycle, so we have this last year left. But what we're hoping to do is we've been participating with Behavioral Health and the Alcohol and Drug Prevention Advisory Group, and we're hoping to make some relationships networking to possibly work with either some school districts or some other agencies to continue to apply for funding using the things that we've learned and the tools that we've developed and the statistics that we're able to gain from our project and use that for future funding. I know that in the beginning you guys were talking about how the program came about, and one of the things that I know is that actually we will be, we have a grant that was doing this kind of stuff for the mainstream high schools, and that's where we kind of saw that there was a need for an alternative students because they really are in the middle of using or being exposed to use, and so that's when we saw that was probably a gap that could be filled.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think back in 1969 or something, these questions, put your good where it will do the most. And when you're looking at the kids in the alternative and community school populations, you're looking at people who are already on a trajectory not to be so successful.
But some might say that, you know what, why are you spending your time in alternative ed? Why not spend your time at the elementary? You know, because a lot of these kids at the alternative are practicing using drugs and alcohol for a couple of years.
We actually hear them a lot, and that's where they're education. Because why not, you know?
Two birds with one stone. The problem because kids in the alternative community are already suffering to some degree.
Right. And you know, students usually relate a couple of years older, and so those, you know, see some high schoolers coming down to the school with a lot more cool than it is when we come in, say, even at younger than it.
You know, do you like Gabriel better? I mean,
that's what I go by.
Okay,
that's
your
favorite.
Just talk about this. Here's the question. We the Imperial Foundry is what it is. We have culture. We have economic stuff.
Information.
A lot of factors here that don't appear to be going anywhere.
Unemployment rate is.
Does this get turned around at some point? Do you foresee a time when young parents, even those people who are really marginalized socioeconomically or are just kind of struggling people, are actually aware enough to begin to construct their child's life in a way that doesn't lead to these risk factors?
What I hope is that it doesn't come to a point where, like with the recession, people are changing the way that they spend, people are changing the way that they save, because we're in a crisis. And so what I hope is that it doesn't come to a point where it's a crisis and we have to respond that way.
Because we go to our least common denominator.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what we're working towards, and we're trying to move that direction. We want to take our leadership groups into the city council to address social ordinance issues and things of that nature.
How's that going? I think Imperial was the only one that passed it.
Calipat also has
Social
ordinance. But it's, you know, it's something where if you host a party and you have people that are your age drinking, you get fined for that.
Yeah.
And so that gives some responsibility back to the homeowner, which maybe in some situations wouldn't be fair to us now and your child throws a party. But at the same time, it does force
you. Well, and it's like that little game you play in Chuck E. Cheese where the mouse comes up at a different age. He's the mouse here, he's the mouse here. Well, we've legislated this. Now, does the problem spring up in a different form? I mean, prohibition is notoriously not very successful.
Yeah.
Which is why I think we have to address it as a community issue and get parents to support the idea. It isn't just putting information out there, it's changing the culture.
Well, and maybe safety and something else. I mean, do we ever get alcohol use and drug use separated from this rite of passage thing? I mean,
right. And I think what we try to do with our program is not because we're OP and because we're more, of course, development. You really have an aspect of
ability.
There you go. So what we try to do is we try to associate how developing an alcohol problem can affect you in a career path, and so that's one of the other things we try to emphasize. And so that's, you know, just trying to incorporate lots of different things. And so the message is alcohol prevention and alcohol abuse prevention, but we try to tie it into everyday life and how it does affect you and how it can affect you in the future, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
How many kids have you served? How many kids have gone through your program?
There's a little ticker, you guys. Yeah. There's a little ticker scrolling right now.
Yeah. I know we enrolled 524 originally.
Wow.
That's not how many completed the course because, you know, in alternative education settings, people transition back to high school and then, you know, not good if some people drop out. So, you know, there's all those different areas. I think at the last count, we were talking about 425 complete.
Well, yeah, 200 people show up at this dinner thing. This helps celebration.
That's impressive. That was really, you know, a good thing. It was a combined effort between the two.
That speaks to a relationship. Really, that speaks to Danny and you building a relationship with the people that you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
For them to kind of come out on a warm night.
So are there Dannys at the other schools, or is this one?
I don't know if they consider themselves as a nanny, but we do have additional staff. We do have additional youth development specialists at some of the other schools, and we have a program manager that's on board too, along the line. We have Jessica Rodriguez Sanchez, and Alicia Kidd, who just joined our staff last week. So we have a
manager.
Yeah, how many kids are there?
I know, like two.
Who's
the interagency giving committee coordinator.
Right. So we do have a staff of five of us that will work.
And serving all of the community and the community.
We actually serve all of them. We serve Brawley, Hopeville, Calexico, and we work with alternative heads with the three schools that they have. We hope to be working with Juvenile Hall as the year comes up. We hope to be working with Desert Oasis. We hope to be working with Campus Quo. And we'll be approaching the other schools that are out there if they want our services. We have approached some of the other schools before, and they're declined, either because it doesn't necessarily fit the schedule of their day, alternative education setting is a little different, or, you know, they just don't really have the need or the population to take advantage of them.
So they could call you, because schools can start
with
you just got a new staff member.
Exactly. We're a little bit more flexible. And they can always reach us 0-482-2619. Is the extension for Carpe Sobrio.
Wait, I've got a school administrator struggling to find a sharp pencil. Is it normal with that?
0-482-2619, and that's for Project Sobrio at IDROP.
Or they can just contact IDROP in the phone book.
That's true. I answer for many names.
Or the billboard that you have. Do you still have the billboard?
I don't know if you're lost, if you're driving in the direction of the mall, going shopping for school clothing, basically the message in the billboard is a minor drinking is a major problem. And so it's just to highlight the fact that underage drinking is not something that is a rite of passage that everybody does. It is dangerous, and I think as a community we need to be more aware of it.
Now that school is old, what are you guys doing in the summertime for kids?
I'll let Dan talk about
We're doing activities with them. We either do field trips with them, activities with them. We still get involved with them. We still try to get them, some sort of
field trips. How much heat can you tolerate before you peel over with a TV session? Or, I mean,
it's about this hot. How much can you
walking them all? Something.
And then we give them a workshop where you know, they want to participate to this, you know, either any of the coaches that we have. There's a workshop that we have. Last year we had a men's academy. It was really great. We had, you know, kids coming in, and then we have a girls academy.
This year, well, we have the men's, it's got the women's.
I'm sorry, men's. A men's academy and a women's academy. This year we kind of have put them all together, and you know, it also worked out. And
better probably for now.
Sorry. We What we've done with these workshops is we also educate them a little bit further in on how, like, you know, Gil was mentioning earlier, how to say no and you know, how to...
The situation
that you're getting yourself into. We also try to get prepared for work, you know, if any of these students are interested in getting hired for the summer, we try to, teach them how to, perform a good, successful, interview,
mm-hmm.
you know, how should they be dressed, you know, and we start to see high skills to these students, and they're showing them, you know, stuff that to them, for the moment, is all new, they've never heard of, that some of them, they didn't realize that that's the way you actually do things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's real, that's what we're doing in the summer.
It's important kind of mentoring stuff in terms of how to integrate into a more successful level of society.
And those trips, where do you guys go?
So we take them, we try to take them out from the valley and show them stuff that is out there, colleges. We take them to universities that are out there. Maybe the students here think it's just IEC and Chinese State. And then when they start going out to
the
valley, when they're out there and see all these universities out there, they're all like, wow, you know, we can...
How far away do you get from
here? We've done some part of that way. That's as far as we've done. And then
but you know what? You would be surprised that many kids in the valley have never gone to San Diego.
Yes, that's the other.
Well, even now I'm not in San Diego. I haven't gone to LA. But I was amazed at that, and that's giving an opportunity to know that there's more than just here in the valley.
And actually, last year we took some students to a couple of colleges, Long Beach.
Yeah! All right.
And we also went to the Otis Institute, which is an art institute. And while we were there, there was a student from one of our consideration high schools taking a class at this art school. And so the students from that school that we took got to see their classmate in class there. And so that was really impactful. And then also an uncle to one of the students was the director of, but also a director of student projects. And so,
seeing the dark possibilities.
And seeing other people just like me that came from the same place I did that are also doing it.
And then, you know, they might have the opportunity to go out to school, and then, came back.
Hopefully come back.
Yeah, my kids have already been pretty clear on this. They would rather be homeless in a major metropolitan area than come back to the Imperial Valley Foster. So sometimes the Imperial Valley is contributing brains to the rest of the world.
Yeah,
I got one more question. Let's wrap this thing up. But here you go. You're working with these kids. You're connecting with them. You really probably know them on levels that none of us are going to know them on. What do you see out there as kind of the one missing link here? If you had like a magic wand and you could say, you know, this is the thing that we really need for these kids to make a difference, what would you do? What would that be?
I think it's sharing any type of information and education in a lovable way. I think many of these kids need that. They're there, they're out there. When you go out and you talk to them to their level, when you go out there and you actually, present stuff to them, they kind of feel that. They kind of feel that bond. And I think that's one of the things that they're missing either at home or at school. You know, the way that you show them that there's people out there that actually
care about them. Just for you, regardless.
Yeah, with nothing in,
Not conditioning, like that. Major behaving.
Yeah, and I think that's something that they see. At their school, they see, or you have to do this, you have to get this extra credit, and then you'll get extra credit for whatever you're doing. And then when they see us out there, we're out there, giving them information, taking them out for trips, she doesn't have to do this, she doesn't have to do that, and they're all like, wow, this is real, it's a lot of good clients when they see kind of stuff like that for them.
Great,
you
can bring that function.
Yeah.
You know what, hey guys, great show. You're welcome back anytime. This is we're cruising over the hour, so that means there's more to do. Bring some kids with you next time.
Yeah.
We also want to thank you guys just for having us here today. We just want to thank you guys for people like you guys that help others
And drop the phone one more time, too, so that people can at least want to hook up with you guys.
760-482-2619, that's the Project Sobrio number at IDRLP, and our website is www.projectsobrio.org. I also have a MySpace account out there. I'll be looking out there in a while, so we'll be working on it.
Okay. some cool pictures.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 80.7 FM, Radio Bilingue, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.